I'd like to share with you
just a story
from the Old Testament tonight. I know that you've been studying about Jesus, and Jesus Christ is all I need, or Jesus is all I need. Is that your theme?
Amen.
Yes. But I just before you do anything, you don't have to pick up anything. I know I said we're going to read from the Bible, but just put your books down now, off your laps, and I'll tell you when to get your Bibles. Forgive me if I don't address you. Can you hear me in the back? Yes? Okay. It's wonderful to know that Jesus is all I need, but unless we realize that we need him, we're not going to take him as our shepherd, or our provider, or our king, or our healer, or even our savior. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you had to cry out for help? Anybody like that? And maybe it was you cried out for mom or dad. You said, help, help, help. And why did you cry out for help? Because you needed help, right? You don't say help, help, help unless you need help. And it's wonderful to know that Jesus is all of these things for us. But if we don't cry out for help, if we don't cry out for him, then we never really tap into all that he is for us. Do you understand that? Unless you see your need, you don't say help, do you? You know that story about the boy who cried wolf, right? So unless we really need help, we that's just the way we're made up. And sometimes when we need help, we still don't cry out because we're too proud. Did I tell you the time I thought that this is when I was older, actually. I was maybe in my 20s, and my sister was getting married, and I wanted to give them a wedding present. And so they were moving into an apartment, and I said, I'm gonna build a nice closet for them and hang some new doors in this space and make it really nice for them. And it involved some cutting and working with the lumber. And my dad was an excellent carpenter. My father was a perfectionist. And so in the back of my mind, I said, if dad comes along, it's going to take twice as long as I can do it. You know the end of the story already, right? So I got there, and I got the table saw out, and I'm running these doors through, and I had to shave off maybe just, you know, a little bit to make it fit. So I'm running it through the table, and it just keeps bouncing, and it bounces, and the blade keeps spinning, and it's messing up the door, like really bad. And I couldn't understand why this was happening. This was before cell phones. So I had to go inside and I had to call my dad. And I had to say, Dad, come and help me. Come and help me. Well, it turned out that the way these doors are constructed, there is a little nail or a brad that they put in the ends to hold the door together. Did you know that? So I kept hitting the metal instead of wood. And that's why it kept bouncing on me. All right, so now you learned something about cutting wood. I mean, doors, anyway. But my point is that, you see, I thought I could do it. And maybe you think that you can be a Christian, or maybe you just think that, well, I'm just kind of good enough. I come from a Christian home. I go to church. I know about Jesus. I can just kind of, I'm good. I can make it. But I trust that in these days, as you've been at camp, you've come to the realization that you need Jesus. Not only is it the theme of your lesson, but you've come to realize that, Jesus, I need your help every day, every day. So now if you'd like to take your Bibles, we'll open to 2 Chronicles. That's in the Old Testament. Second Chronicles, chapter 14. Now, it's not a story of Jesus, but it's a story about someone who needed help. Let's see what happened if God came to their rescue. You need a little bit more time to find it? And if you don't find it, it's okay. You could just look up and I'll... 2 Chronicles 14. Okay, I'm going to start at verse 8. There was a king and his name was Asa. Can you say that? Asa?
Asa.
King Asa, okay? Asa had an army of 300,000 men from Judah, equipped with large shields and with spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin, armed with small shields and with bows. All these were brave fighting men. So how many did they have all together? How many? 580,000. Is that a lot? You think that's a lot? 580,000 soldiers. I wouldn't want to meet up against them. How about you? You would, huh? All right. Let's see what happens. Zerah the Cushite marched out against them with a vast army and 300 chariots and came as far as Mersha. Now that is not right. That's what I get for reading NIV. Okay, King James. There came out a host against him with 1,000,000. How many is that?
A million.
Is 1,000,000 more than 580,000?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Almost twice as much. So what does he do? What do you do when you're in a situation where the army that you are fighting against is almost twice as big as your army? Well, let's see what he did. It says in verse 11, then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Have you ever felt that way? You come up against a situation and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I feel powerless in this situation. The enemy is all around me. And so he says these simple words, a simple prayer. He says, help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you. And in your name, we have come against this vast army. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against us. It's a wonderful lesson for all of us. We find ourselves sometimes in situations that just overwhelm us. And I think for this king, at that moment when he saw the predicament that he was in, he felt a little bit overwhelmed. And sometimes we come to camp, we get blessed by God. He works in our hearts. He changes us. And we know that he's done something for us. But then we have to return maybe to a situation. We go back home and maybe the friends on the block, the guys that we run with, maybe they're not all Christians. And actually, maybe they're not Christians. And maybe if you tell them that God worked in your hearts, they might say, oh, you're a sissy. What are you talking about, this church stuff? What happened to you? And then we have to decide, are we going to stand for God? Are we going to stand for Jesus? Are we going to say, Lord, help me to stand for you, or do we cave in? I think what Asa did is the right thing. It's the thing that we all need to do. We need to say, God, we don't know how to face this enemy. We don't know how the battle is won. But Lord, we rely upon you. We trust in you. It's nothing for you, whether we're few or many. Help us, Lord. Help us. In your name, we go against the enemy. And the wonderful thing is that God heard his prayer. Does God hear you when you pray? God heard his prayer and answered that prayer. And it says in the next verse is that the Lord struck down the Cushites before Asa and Judah, and they fled. But the story doesn't end there. Just stay with me, because there's just a little bit more of this story that I think is so important for all of us. It says, after they came back from this great victory, do you think they felt good? Yeah. They were like, thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you, God, for the victory. You boys sang a song about victory, didn't you? Yep. And God wants to give us victory. And we come to camp and God works in our hearts and he does a change in us. And we know that he's with us. He's given us victory. But as soon as they returned home, God sent someone to speak to them. He sent a prophet. And the prophet had a message for them. In the 15th chapter, it says, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa. Now listen what he says. He doesn't say, oh, great job, Asa. You guys did great out there. He says this to them. Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. That's strong words. God has given you victory. But know that as long as you seek him, he'll help you. As long as you look for him, as long as you cry out to him, he'll be there for you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. If you go down a little bit further in this chapter, it says in verse 9, how did he respond to this word from God? He says this, or it says this, and Asa gathered all Judah and Benjamin and all the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell out to him in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with them. And they gathered themselves, verse 10, at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th day of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord the same time the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. Some years ago, when I was head counselor in the village, I made up a covenant. You know what a covenant is? A covenant is an agreement. And you sign the bottom of that covenant. You enter into that agreement. You promise to do something, and the other person promises to do something. Well, in this case, the covenant that Asa made really was something that they had promised to do. They promised to seek God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. They promised to follow God all the days of their lives. And I think that it's not necessarily for us. Now, I just did that for the boys because I wanted them to take that home and to remind them that they had promised to live for Jesus. But it's not about you signing the bottom of a piece of paper. Even if I had a covenant here for you to sign tonight, there's no guarantee that you could keep that covenant, right? We can make promises.
Do people break their promises?
Absolutely.
Sometimes people break their promises. Sometimes we're not able to fulfill promises we make to people. And maybe we can't fulfill the promises we make to God.
But He's promised us His grace. He's promised to help us. He just is waiting for you to say, Lord Jesus, I need your help. And so I'd just like to leave that thought with you. When you leave here, when you go back home, you need to continue to seek God the way you sought Him here. How many of you every morning read your Bible? I mean, at camp. Uh-oh, let me see. All of you should have your hand up because you have morning devotions, don't you? Every morning, you're given a time to open your Bible and to read. Like, you put your hands down. How many of you are going to do that when you get home? Raise your hand. Now, don't raise it just because I'm asking you. Are you going to read your Bible and pray when you go home? Raise your hand if you're going to do that. Okay. Now, by God's grace, we can do that. You see, I know that when my kids come back from camp, or when they came back from camp, you know how I know that God worked in their hearts? How do I know? Because they tell me, Daddy, oh, I had a great time at camp, Jesus met me. That's not how I know that God worked in their hearts. How do I know? What do you think? They're changed. They read their Bibles. They're praying. They're seeking for God. And I just pray that God would just put something in our hearts. All of us. Because we all have a tendency to relax. I'm doing well. I've got the victory. But remember, as soon as they came back from that great victory that God gave them, He reminded them, I'll be with you as long as you see. I'll fight for you as long as you ask for my help. And so we have a God who loved us enough to give us His Son. And I'm so thankful that Jesus came and that Jesus gave His life for each one of us. He died in our place, but He rose again. And you know where He is today? This is a wonderful thing for all of us to lay hold on. You know where Jesus is today? Who could tell me? Now, there's a few good answers to this, so let's see what we have. Where is Jesus today?
In heaven.
In heaven. Is that the right answer?
In our hearts. There's a lot of
right, that's what I said. There's a few good answers. But I like the heaven one right now. He is in heaven. And what is He doing in heaven? Raise your hand. Who said it? You're not a camper.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. What is He doing? He's preparing a table for us. That's good. What else is He doing in heaven?
Watching and praying for us.
You know, the Bible says that He intercedes for us. You know, so if no one else is praying for me, I know that Jesus is praying for me. And that gives me great encouragement. And boys, I want to tell you that Jesus is praying for you. Your counselors are going to be praying for you throughout the year. But Jesus is praying for you.
Amen.
And He's praying that your faith would not fall or fail. He's praying that you will stay true to Him. Do you think He's able to keep you? You saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. That's a wonderful resolve. And only God is able to keep us. He's given us His Son. He's given us the Holy Spirit to be with us, to be in us. And so you and I can live for Him every day of our lives. Be a blessing to those around us. And so you don't have to be afraid. You can do what Asa did when he came up against the enemy. Lord, we don't know what to do, but it's nothing with you to help. And so, Lord, help me. Help me. I just want to pray with you. We're all going to pray together, all right? What I mean by that is we're all going to close our eyes, close our Bibles for now. And we're going to talk to our God, the God who hears us, the God who answers our prayers. I'm going to ask Brother Tom Barnes to come and pray for you. But we're all going to pray together. Come, Brother Tom.
Glory to God. Father, we thank you for these boys that have learned their lessons, Lord, that have called upon you. Lord, I pray they will enter into a covenant with you to seek the Lord. Lord, we pray that they will find you, live for you, walk with you. Bless them, O God. When they get into trouble, show them how to call upon you. Let them remember the things that were placed in their heart. Lord, I pray that each one's heart will be opened the rest of this week, Lord, and that they'll take back home with them the blessing that you've set within them. Lord, as our brother said, they are here because of your appointment. They are your souls. They're your children. You created them from the dust of the ground, and you love them with an everlasting love. And we pray, O God, you reveal yourself to them in a very special and marked way individually. O Lord, that when they go home, they'll know that there's a God in heaven who prays for them and loves them. Lord, I pray you'll draw very near to them all the time. Don't let these things slip from them, Father. Put some carefulness into them. And make them real men of God, starting out young, but, oh God, as they get older, that you become their best friend and that you guide them to the very end. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.